Hi everyone and welcome to Take a Deep Breath. Today's Breathcast interview is with Chuck McGee III, who is one of the first, if not the first, American Wim Hof instructor. We talk about Chuck's story, what he was doing before Wim Hof, how he heard about Wim Hof and how he got into it, and all the things he's learned since. And we also talk a bit about Chuck's practices and what are the things that he does every day and why, all those kind of benefits on his breath work and routines. Some of you might have heard of Chuck actually, because Chuck was mentioned at the very end of the James Nestor Joe Rogan podcast as the chap that James Nestor was doing the free breathing classes with. So all Chuck's details are down below. Just a couple of messages about the podcast. Please give us a like, a thumbs up and a share and a comment. The podcast is also available as Breathcast or all good podcasting apps. So if you can download us that way as well, if you want to enjoy us audibly, you can do. And without further ado, I will hand over to the podcast now. Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers. Okay, and we are recording. Chuck McGee III, thank you so much for being on the podcast. How are you doing today, sir?
Absolutely fantastic, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, well, thank you for making the time. I think let's just get straight into asking you, who are you and what is it that you do? It's a big question, but for my audience that may have not seen the Joe Rogan, James Nestor podcast, could you just explain a bit about who you are?
My name's Chuck McGee III. I am a certified instructor in the Wim Hof Method and the Oxygen Advantage. And for 16 years, I was a bartender. For 20 years, I worked in the theater world. So I was used to high-stress jobs, fast-paced, go, go, go. And the health issues just kept piling up. And one day, a customer walked in the bar, super high on drugs, and started babbling to me about this Wim Hof Method thing. And I said, "The what? I can't serve you any alcohol. Go away." And he said, "Only if you promise to look up the Wim Hof Method." 5 years ago, I looked it up, saw the Vice documentary, and now that's the only thing I do for a living is teach people to breathe correctly and sit in cold water comfortably.
Fantastic. I don't know if you probably won't remember this, but we actually met in person. I know we're Facebook friends and I've connected with a lot of Wim Hof people over the years, but we met very, very briefly in person. And what it was, Poland 2016, I just finished my 1 week retreat, with Wim and everybody, Bosma Sznieska, all of that stuff. And you weren't in that group. You were the next group. Mm-hmm. And I was back at the airport. I was feeling a little bit depressed. I'd been around this group of 60 people. I'd connected with them all. I had this kind of new family and I'm wandering around Prague airport, just feeling very, very lonely. And I've, for the first time in a week, I was by myself. And where I met the Poland group, as we were called, where I met, where we all kind of congregated for the Wim Hof people to come pick us up, I was walking by as that second group was congregating. So I thought, these guys are in for such a treat. And I just took a photograph of the group. I shared it with a couple of the guys that I've just done the retreat with, going, "Look, these are the newbies. They're about to go through something. They've got no idea what." And you came up to me and you're like, "Hey man, how's it going? Are you here for the Wim Hof thing?" And I was like, "I am, but I've just done it actually. And I'm on my way home now." We had just a very, very brief conversation. And then I obviously looked you guys up on Facebook and stuff. But yeah, that was our couple of moments. And you were a lovely, you probably thought, "Who the hell is this guy photographing my delegates as they're coming on the Wim Hof thing?"
Nah, it actually, that happens more and more now. Yeah. I've been to Poland 4 or 5 times, and every time there's the people from the group who are just there, and it's amazing to see their energy and to see their glow, and they just, the energy they want to share with the new group, people they haven't met, and they're like, "You guys are gonna love it! You have a great time!" It's just that connection with someone you don't know, but you're gonna have that shared experience, is so strong that they just want to share it. And I love that. I love the fact that, you know, even though I don't know you, we like to do the same thing. So why not be friends about it?
Yeah.
And that is one of the big things that drew me to the Wim Hof Method and the instructors themselves. Mm. I love like every instructor in the Wim Hof Method. They're great. If I can't help you, maybe someone else can. And as Wim says, your neighbor's not your competitor. A lot of that applies to a lot of the way the instructors approach the world. We use each other for the resources we all know.
Yeah.
And it starts with little things like that in Poland, with someone being like, "Oh, you guys are going to have a great time." And just kind words.
Yeah. Yeah, kind words, a few moments. And I agree that the Wim Hof instructors I've met quite a few fantastic people. Just there's something probably draws people anyway to Wim Hof and to that whole method. And then obviously, if you want to stick around and do even more of it, you're probably already a certain type of personality that just loves all that stuff, obviously. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. So I want to get real value for the viewers today. So let me ask you, in your views, what are the benefits of the Wim Hof method that you've seen?
Well, so before I answer that, I work at two functional restorative therapy clinics, and we use the Wim Hof method and proper breath to reduce chronic pain. So, and it's not just me by myself. There's a whole group of professionals that there's psychologists, nutritionists, acupuncturists, physical therapists, Feldenkrais, nutritionists. I don't know if I already said that. Everyone's working together, but the main benefit I see is learning that proper foundational breath, exercising your cardiovascular system, as I am a type 1 diabetic, I need to make sure that's doing really well. And the ability to give yourself a 1 or 2 second cushion in moments of stress to make the right decision. And I mean, the ice baths have the benefits of like anti-inflammation for up to 6 days. But the biggest benefit I see out of all of the Wim Hof method or any conscious breath practice is just the ability to listen to your body better, to understand and feel what's going on. The benefit I see from the ice is that noticing of stress when it hits you. And if you've practiced the in three out six breath we suggest people use in an ice bath, you get used to reacting that way when stress hits you. And having, driving down the road, you're driving on the highway, someone cuts you off, you instantly get angry. But if you're used to practicing that breath work, he or she doesn't even know they've pissed me off. And I can get mad and waste all of that energy, or I can just take a deep breath, slow it down, maybe wish I could kick him in the ass later, but that's okay. I'll let that thought go. And calm down and get on with my day and not give someone I don't know any more power than they deserve.
I love that.
And
There's this classic thing around, I don't know if you ever come across it, I forget who came up with this, but between stimulus and reaction is a choice or a decision. And
yes.
breathing is really powerful for that, because you're absolutely right. If you can just take that breath before the reactions, so whatever that stimulus is that's upset you or triggered you, if you've got that power to how you decide to react to it. And the breath is a fantastic anchor for that. I love that. And you said it's three in, six out, and that's through the nose, is it?
Yes, absolutely. Or 4 in, 6 out, right? You want your exhale to be about 1.5 times longer than your inhale.
And what's the benefit of that, out of interest?
So this is not always, it's not always parasympathetic, sympathetic, but an exhale is predominantly a parasympathetic side of the nervous system. So by lengthening your exhale to be 1.5 times longer than your inhale, you're relaxing your body just a little bit more with each breath. You're holding a little more carbon dioxide in your body, and your veins and arteries are going to dilate a little bit more. Your blood pressure is going to drop. Your heart rate's going to drop. And it just gives you that cushion, that moment, because physiologically you're going to react before your brain even knows what's happening. That's why that stress, the shoulders go up, the body tightens up. Whew. And then you can calm it down. And if I'm mouth breathing all day, I'm anxious. I'm already like redlining into the upset zone. My veins and arteries are constricted because I've off-gassed more CO2 than I'm supposed to. So when that reaction hits, I have a much smaller buffer to influence or control my reaction. And I cannot emphasize enough how important like nasal breathing is. And I mean, when you're doing a conscious breathwork exercise, breathe through your nose, breathe through your mouth, but do so consciously. And when you're not, deep breaths through the nose, and it's not just a nose breath that takes your breath here. You want that deep diaphragmatic expansion, filling up the belly, filling up the lungs. Every time, you don't want to be taking these shallow breaths. You want the blood to be circulating throughout the lungs. And by practicing these methods, I mean, I worked in the theater world. I knew how to use my diaphragm, but I wasn't taking a deep breath with every breath. When I would get busy, I would suddenly stop and I would breathe suboptimally. I'd get stressed faster. I'd get irritated faster. And when you're working with 300 drunk people as well, getting irritated faster is not an attribute you want.
Not good.
No.
I notice when in between breaths now, when you're talking to me and you're finished talking, rather than inhale through your mouth, you're inhaling through your nose. Is that something conscious that you've trained yourself to do? Because I've just started to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. When people are talking, and I notice, I just noticed more in children especially, they'll get so excited and they'll start talking and yes. their speech patterns are simulating an anxious, panicked breath. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anything I have to say is so important that I have to just word vomit it out. I can take a breath. I can form my next sentence, which is not something I'm used to doing. Usually I just speak and I'm surprised by what I say, just like everybody else. And I really try to breathe in through the nose as I'm speaking.
Yeah.
And as I'm speaking, my exhales are much longer than my inhales. But yes, it is. It's a conscious choice. It takes so much ridiculous concentration and work sometimes, but it is absolutely worth it. I found by changing that pattern, and this is a recent change, only within the last year or so, I'm more comfortable talking. I'm more comfortable interacting with people. And someone said, you know, you look thoughtful when you speak. I'm like, oh, I've never been told that before. Thank you.
We're so used to just filling dead air, I've noticed, in conversations. I'm not sure if it's the same in America, but in England, people will speak quicker than when they thought what they want to say. And I'm so used to trying to fill that dead air before somebody else gets in there, especially coming from the corporate world where everyone's trying to get their ideas and opinions across and every second counts. But I'm also training myself now to take those few seconds, have that extra breath, because actually, if you do that throughout the day while you're talking, what a difference that's going to make overall to your parasympathetic nervous system and just helping you relax and you know all of that good stuff. So yeah, it's definitely something I'm consciously aware of, and I think you're the first person I've noticed do that actually, especially doing the podcast. So it's interesting to see a fellow in through the nose before they speak person there. So they're brilliant. So let's talk a bit more about Wim Hof here and your journey with it. So you speak to the person in the bar. They're saying, please look up this Wim Hof dude. You look him up. What happens next?
Well, I mean, when you work in the bar, you get off work at 2 a.m. That's when the bar closes. Hmm. Now I have to close the bar. I have to clean the bar, wipe everything down, count the drawer. I usually get home at about 3:30 in the morning. And I'm not tired. I mean, if someone gets off work at 5, they get home at 6:30 p.m., mm-hmm. they're not ready to go to bed yet.
Yeah.
So I would be wide awake. I have children. They now are 11 and almost 9. And when they were younger, they were going to wake up in the morning. And I still had to get some sleep because I had to work again the next day. Mm-hmm. And I'd find like, I was making poor decisions. I was sleeping like through a lot of the afternoon. Sometimes I would need to take a nap, and it was just, I'd find myself grumpy. I'd maybe need to take a couple shots to go to bed. So I'm not getting the best sleep because I've had to drink alcohol before bed. And I'm just angry all the time. And I'm a type 1 diabetic. So none of those things work with that.
No.
I had a pretty good handle on my blood sugar, but I was just kind of existing. And I watched this video of this crazy Dutch guy talk to this just not knowing reporter from Vice of what's going to happen. And he starts guiding the guy through some breath work. And because of my theater background, we've done a lot of breathing exercises. I know that can change how you feel. So I followed along and I felt great. My tension just drained out of my body. I was smiling, and that's not something that normally happens after work. And I went to bed without having to take anything to go to sleep. And I slept great. I woke up and I told my wife about it. And I said, well, it's on sale now. So I found a discount code. What do you think? Should we go for this? And she's like, absolutely, go for it. So I bought the 10-week course and I started practicing it. And lo and behold, as the months go by, I don't have to take blood pressure medication anymore. the amount of insulin I have to take is going down. They used to give me Valium to balance out my mood because I would go to both ends of the spectrum so quick because my blood sugar was fluctuating. My blood sugar didn't fluctuate as much. I was still new to learning about the illness I had and going further into controlling it. And it was amazing. I was like, how can just breathing and sitting in cold water have this effect? I was one of those people who was like, how, this can't be that easy, but it obviously was. Now, at this point, I was still taking ice baths totally incorrectly. I was sitting in there just, come on, I'm supposed to sit in the water
and power through it. Yep.
And I signed up for the advanced course, but as you know, I am American, I didn't read about the advanced course. I just saw Advanced Wim Hof Method LA. Yes. And I get there and they say, welcome to instructor training. And I went, come again? Wow. What now? This is just an advanced course. And they're like, yeah, the advanced course for instructor training. Did you read? No. And at that point, Wim laughed. And he's like, you'll fit in well here. And the weekend was amazing. I learned some amazing stuff. And then a few months later, about 5 months later, actually, we did the week-long master course in Colorado. And by that point, I knew this is what I wanted to do for a living. I quit working at every bar I was working at before I was certified. I was taking a gamble. My wife was okay with me taking a gamble because she saw just the bar was just breaking me. Mm-hmm. I was not happy. I was angry at the entire world. And the anxiety I had was not a fear-based anxiety. It was a rage-based anxiety. Mm. When people are coming at you all the time, day after day, whether it's verbally or physically, and you know you're going to get attacked, you have to protect yourself from that.
Yes.
And it got to the point where I was always on alert, always looking around, always scanning, getting ready to get in that verbal or physical altercation. Mm. And it was bleeding into my life with my kids and my wife. I couldn't have that. And so I go there, I end up going to Poland just afterwards. They said, we noticed you booked a Poland experience. They said, I did because, you know, Vice documentary, Poland, gotta go. And I ended up being able to assist that time rather than just be a participant.
And when was that out of interest? When was that you went to Poland? Was that when I saw you in December 16?
Yeah.
December 2016. So that was your first group, was it then? When I was seeing you?
As an assistant.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And it was wild. We were walking up the mountain. At this point, the instructors could go without clothes on. So a lot of us did.
Yeah.
And it was really, really difficult. We got hit by a blizzard. There was stinging ice being blown up. And it was so hard that that little yellow house or big yellow house that we stop at before the summit was our end destination. There's no way when the wind's blowing at 25, 30 miles per hour on the plateau that it's going to be any safer up on the summit.
Yeah.
And the group's starting to lose cohesion because it's really difficult and people are straight up going into survival mode. Mm-hmm. The instructors are all doing their best. We're watching, but three people from the group in front of me pulled off because the guy needed to go to the bathroom. And the instructor that was watching him was helping three people over here. He was doing his part. And I looked at the instructor behind me and he's like, you need to go help them. Mm-hmm. And he's like, the place is like 100 yards that way. So I knew it was close-ish, but 100 yards in a blizzard could be 5 miles. Yeah. So I'm not wearing my clothes. They're not wearing their clothes. I'm like, guys, we gotta go now. And they're like, no, we're fine. We're just going to walk down the mountain. No. So, you know, like they say in the airlines, put your oxygen on first. So I put my clothes on, got my gloves on. Whew, okay, I can move again. I get them dressed.
Yeah.
And we start walking back. And because we have safety protocols in place, multiple instructors are now running out of the building to make sure that we're safe. I turn the corner and there's an instructor's name is Joran de Bruin. And I see his face jogging through the snow, like just so serious. He sees us, he lights up. He helps grab them. We get these guys in. And one of the guys had an illness that we didn't know about. And that taxed him really heavily on the hike.
Right.
And it was a learning experience. But right then, right there, I was like, I have to do this forever. That was crazy. That was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. I had to dig deep. I had to find my focus in an extremely difficult situation. Mm. And when you approach that line and you can see your limits and you're like, if I break this, I'm in a blizzard. I just got to dig a little deeper. I got inside, we recovered, everybody walked down the mountain. And now all the instructors wear clothes, because if we get hit by something like that, we need to be there.
Right. We need to help. Yeah.
And it was a great learning experience, but it was the experience that solidified, I just love doing this. It's amazing to see the light on someone's face and to watch their body relax.
Yeah.
It's better than any drug.
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't it funny, just 2 days before I bumped into you, we'd climbed Snezka, perfect conditions, blue sky, not one cloud, -5 consistently, no wind. We felt a bit cheated, actually, because we were like, we're braced for something crazier than this. And it was like, although it was cold and we still got that challenge, we had a very safe experience. So it just proves the kind of danger and uncertainty of microclimates on mountains as well, doesn't it? And how people should be so careful when they're going to go and mm-hmm. do something in nature. Wow. So what experience? Just a very quick one on sleep as well. Have you messed about with the old light blockers? Have you played with these much?
Or I do.
Similar. Do you? Yeah. These have really helped my sleep.
I use, I have blue light blocking glasses, and they actually need them for reading, so it works. I have blue light blocking glasses, and I do have the red framed sleep enhancers.
Yeah.
But I had an accident a couple years ago in 2018. I had a traumatic brain injury, a really bad concussion. And for a while, wearing the glasses just messed with my vision. And I stopped wearing them. But now I can wear them again. And I enjoy putting them on before bed. But mm-hmm. I don't really have trouble sleeping. I just use box breathing to put myself to sleep. So I can, anytime it's time for bed, okay. And I can go to sleep.
And just talk us through your box breathing method. So what do you do? You've done your stuff in your bathroom. You've brushed your teeth. What are you doing? Are you doing that in a dark room? Are you lying in the bed doing that?
I'm in the bed.
Okay. You're in your bed.
So it's called box breathing because there's 4 steps to it. And every number is the same. In the beginning, choose 4 seconds because it's a 4-second inhale, a 4-second hold, a 4-second exhale, and a 4-second hold. Then you start over again. And this is the box. And that by itself is a 16-second breath, roughly 4 breaths a minute or 40 breaths in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you're slowing everything way down. There are people I know whose box is 10 seconds. They're taking 1 breath in 40 seconds.
Wow.
The number I like to use is 6 or 7. So it's between a 24 and 28 second breath. And it's just slowing everything down. And I always think, like, this isn't going to work. I'm going to be doing this forever. And as soon as that thought starts to creep in, my body goes, no, you're out now.
Yeah.
Usually I'm taping my mouth shut because this happens when you tilt your head back on your pillow wrong.
Yeah.
And like any option, people say, you know, taping seems a bit extreme. And I go, is it though? Because what happens when you sprain your wrist or ankle? They tape it. They immobilize it. If you hurt your shoulder, they'll put your arm in a sling.
Yeah.
If you break your leg, you'll use crutches. All taping is immobilizing something you don't want to use improperly for that specific exercise.
Yeah.
And sleep is important. So I tape to make sure I'm doing it right.
Yeah. I like the James Nestor approach of the Charlie Chaplin size mustache amount here, because that for me works really well, because I can still talk out the edges. And if you needed to breathe through the mouth, you know, you don't feel too suffocated by it. So that's been quite a decent way of doing it. And I would have sworn that I did not breathe at night. I would absolutely bank on it. But the times that I have done it and I need to do more, I wake up with a more moist mouth the next morning. So that says something's going on there. You know, I'm obviously breathing through the mouth at some point. Okay, so yes, box breathing gets you to sleep. And before we talk about what you're doing as an instructor and stuff online, I'm just keen to know, what are your other personal daily practices or weekly practices you're doing. So talk us through. So you're doing box breathing at night. Do you do Wim Hof yourself still? Do you do any other breathing techniques? You talked about the tape. And so maybe just share with our viewers what your personal routines look like.
So my personal routine is I try and do the Wim Hof method breathwork every day. If I don't get it in the morning, I'll do it at night. I do cold exposure every day, whether that's an ice bath or a cold shower. Usually it's an ice bath daily. Since, you know, I'm in California, I can't really go to a gym. I don't get to go work out. I have been looking up recently animal flow, animal movements, just working out in your house, moving your body naturally, strengthening your muscles. It's something I can do, with my kids if they want to join, and, you know, just trying to stay relaxed, trying not to have that stress hit me. Positivity is one of those things I try and work all of the time. Positivity is a muscle. You have to keep finding that reason to be grateful, and finding reasons to be grateful sometimes can be difficult in stressful situations. But part of my daily practice is to find something to be grateful for, five things. And by practicing that muscle, by practicing that gratitude, I find I'm having a much more peaceful experience with everything that's going on in the external world. So find that practice you can do at home. Find that practice you can go outside. I mean, I love grounding. I'll take my shoes off. I'll go walk in a park and just enjoy it. Another thing is how I look at the world. It's so important. A lot of people will just walk around. They have their phone in their hand.
Yeah.
And when you're leaning forward and you're looking at your phone, all your nervous system wants to do is not fall over. Mm. You're compressing your chest. You're compressing your abdomen. You can't take a deep breath. That is a really focused view. That is a very sympathetic view. That's an anxious view. Your body is like, well, we're hunting something. Otherwise, they wouldn't be focusing so much. And usually when people are on their phone, they're not reading good news. They're not reading things that make them happy. So now they're breathing. And it just, you can see the shift. You can see the shoulders tension. You can see them start to, you know, really absorb the negativity from whatever they're looking at.
Yeah.
And I try and put my phone down. I try and have a wide view. A really neat exercise is you put your hands out and you find the edge of your peripheral vision. And you try and have that wide view all day. It's a nice parasympathetic view. And this is why people say go out in nature. Because when people are out in nature, they look up. They look at the world. And if we can do that in the city, put your phone down when you're walking. What is that important? Just put your phone away. Stop it. Look at everybody. Watch the person who's about to bump into you because they're not paying attention. Smile and get out of their way. Have fun with it, or don't, and let them bump into you just to have a neat conversation for 5 seconds and watch someone's embarrassment. Do what makes you happy. But practicing all of these little things, step by step by step, it's never one thing. I'm not going to denigrate anybody else's breathwork practices. Search them all out and find the one that works the best for you.
Yeah.
If the animal flow doesn't work, try yoga. I'm 6'2", which is almost 2 meters for the people who don't know the empirical system. So, you know, the rest of the world besides America. And doing yoga wasn't something I really enjoyed. It wasn't fun for me. So if it's not fun, I mean, I know it's a workout, but I can have fun doing my workouts. Doing those animal movements, they're great. They're so much fun. And there's so many amazing people out there showing you how to do these correctly.
Yeah. Love that. For me, the biggest shift this year was I qualified as an Oxygen Advantage instructor, I think in April. And, you know, to get to spend all that time with Patrick McEwen on Zoom, but still, you know, you're with him 3 or 4 times a week and he's just giving you all that information. And since then, I've been so conscious of the nose and the nose breathing, because even though I've done the Wim Hof method and I've practiced many breathing techniques, I would still go to the gym and because that's what you think you need to do. That's what everybody's doing all around you. So the biggest shift for me this year has been shutting the old mouth, getting on the bike or going for a walk, breathing through the nose when you're having those conversations. And just having that ability just to get the mouth, the nose more adjusted. So I can breathe clear on a more regular basis. I'm becoming more adapted to higher levels of CO2 now, so I can hold my breath for longer on a single breath out, you know, without doing the Wim Hof stuff, just the breath pause, that time. Patrick calls it a Bolt score. So that Bolt score is increasing for me sort of week on week. And so that's been my big shift and my kind of daily practice. And for a lot of people, actually, I think people are looking for a very sexy method sometimes. And don't get me wrong, I love Wim Hof, I love Soma, but sometimes you can also find kind of a lot of benefits in just the simplicity of shutting your mouth as well. So it's all of these different things. And for me as well, it's about, yeah, you're right, with yoga, it used to really frustrate me when they say shut your mouth. I thought, you try and do what I'm trying to do here, but now I understand it now. Shut your mouth, try and breathe lightly and quietly, because that's where the real discipline comes in when you're doing things like that as well. Interesting to hear your routine. Thank you for sharing that. Go ahead.
About the nose breathing and adding it to your routine in the gym, so many people are like, oh, this guy said I should nose breathe, and they try and go on a jog. And it's like, wait, did you try walking first with nose breathing? They'll go on a jog and be like, oh, that's all bull. I couldn't do it. It was too difficult. And it's like, yeah, if you're not used to using that musculature correctly, it takes time.
Yes.
One of my clients got so mad at me. He went running that day and said it was impossible. And I said, okay, how are you at walking? He's like, well, I didn't try it. Why? Why would you think you could do anything at top performance the first time? It's not a reasonable thing. And it's going back to that sexy method thing. They want something that'll fix them right now.
Yeah.
Why? I don't want to put work into this. I want it to be right away.
Yeah.
And so at the beginning of this, I fell off the wagon. I fell off my daily routine because one thing led to another. And then I started finding it again. I went back into it. I only fell off for like a month, but that's a long time for someone with diabetes to not do the thing that's keeping them healthy. I woke up one morning just like, ow, oh, that's why I did this stuff. And it comes back, and it's like any tool, we have to use the tools of breath daily. We can't just try them once, try them for a week and be like, well, I know that, I'm better now. It takes practice, it takes dedication, but by the end of it, I mean, I can do more than I could do before with less energy and maintain that smile. Okay, let's go. And you won't find me jogging, but you'll find me hiking in the mountains. You'll find me hiking in the snow. You'll find me riding a bike or swimming. But find the exercises that you enjoy doing. Don't punish yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't like something, there is just such a myriad of things out there that you can find that are healthy, that are fun, that you can do.
Yeah, I love that. I too had some problems with the COVID lockdown. I'm part of a local jiu-jitsu school, which is about 2 miles from here. The gym's a mile from here. And, you know, so almost every day I had this routine. I'd take the train to work, gym and jits, on different days. And being here, working from home has got some fantastic benefits. I'm sleeping better, sleeping longer, but I'm next to the fridge all blinking day. And also the jits school is closed. The gym's closed. I'm a sauna addict. I love the sauna. It's been closed now for 4 months. Can't go to a sauna. I don't have a bath, so I'm trying to have the hot showers, but it doesn't do what I need it to. But then slowly, I'd say probably for about longer than you, probably 2 to 3 months, I was off the wagon of all my kind of daily practices. But just recently, I'd say the last sort of 4 to 5 weeks, I'm starting to get those kind of good habits back in place. But it knocked me. I put on quite a bit of weight, and wasn't doing the things I needed to do. But we're on a journey, aren't we? Sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down, and that's just part of life, I guess. We're not perfect.
You gotta stop. That's beautiful. There are so many people who, when they fall off the wagon, they just beat themselves up about it. Oh my god, how could I do that? And is that helpful? Like you've got, when people say show kindness in places it's unnecessary, that applies to you as well.
Yes.
So to see that just, well, it happened, but now I'm moving forward. That's awesome. That's the mindset that we kind of are trying to lean into. Like, why would I need to beat myself up? I understand it wasn't the right thing to do. One of my favorite quotes is worry about your mistake long enough to learn from it and then put it behind you. Because I don't need to take that with me. Okay, I got it. I messed up back there.
Yeah.
I'm aware of how I messed up. I see how I messed up, and now I'm moving forward. Why am I going to let that weigh me down? That's not going to help me move forward.
Yes.
So well done with that mindset to be like, hey, it's up and it's down, and I may have slipped, but now I'm just going to climb again.
That's it. I have to say, I'm in a particularly positive mode anyway, because I've just come off the back of the Tony Robbins UPW virtual weekend. I don't know if you knew that was going on, but that finished yesterday in America. So I've been doing some crazy hours trying to make my schedule fit with his. But he showed a clip on there, and I forget the lady's name. She's one of the first female billionaires, and she invented the company Spanx. I don't know if you know, and part of her mindset comes from her father. When she was growing up, her dad would say to her, right, what have you failed at today? Let's have a look at it. And she'd go, well, I didn't do very well at this. He's like, that's fantastic. And what, you know, the sister, what have you failed at today? And they celebrated the failures as long as they could say, what did you learn from that? And what are you going to do differently next time? As opposed to a lot of people, failure, it's terrible. I need, like you said, I need to beat myself up on that. Oh, I'm going to wallow in it for a bit. So I really like that mindset of, do you know what? We fail consistently and constantly, but let's learn quickly and move past it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I wish I could say I don't fail, but as a parent, I do. And I try and learn from those mistakes. Mm-hmm. Working, sometimes I don't get it right, and that's okay. Why am I going to beat myself up? It's not going to help. Just learn from it. Accept it. If you learn from it, it's not a failure. It's a lesson.
Yes.
And I'm all for learning lessons. And, you know, I tell my kids, try and fail. And if you fail, fail fantastically. Go big. Yeah. Aim high. Even if you miss it, at least you tried.
Yeah.
And one of them said, you know, well, this game is rigged. It's like a carnival game. The game is rigged. I said, yeah. But if you don't play, you can never win. Mm-hmm. Even if it's rigged, go in knowing it's rigged. Give it your best shot.
Yeah.
And be like, well, at least I learned how that game is rigged.
Yeah, beautiful. I like that. You got to give it a go. I love that. Thanks, John.
Why not? Just do it.
Just do it. Don't be afraid of failure. Walk through that door. And I won't go into the whole story, but just very briefly, Poland, Wim Hof, 2016. I really thought I'd failed when I did that first ice bath on that first night, and I was ready to go home. And I just had that moment. Something switched. Going, go and do another ice bath before you quit and get on that plane. And from that moment on, I've done things I never thought I could do. I quit my job and went traveling around the world. I walked across Spain in 2017, 800 kilometers, something, 500 miles, 30 days. And all these things, I attribute them all to that one night in the sauna at Wim's house in Poland, where I said, I need to go and have another crack at doing this. I jumped off a cliff into some water. I'm not the person that does those sort of things. And so talking on a podcast to somebody on YouTube, again, all these things I can attribute back to that kind of fear of failure and going, well, let's just give it one more go and see what happens. So, right, I'm going to ask you some questions now about Mr. James Nestor, Joe Rogan, what's probably, I'm very interested in what's happened to your life over the last few weeks. So I had James Nestor on the podcast about 4 weeks ago, and I remember thinking, wouldn't it be great for him to get on Joe Rogan? Because this book's incredible, and this guy deserves that publicity. Anyway, I'm on British time. Saturday morning, a couple of weeks later, I wake up, I put on, you know, you're looking through your YouTube, see what's going on. James Nestor's on Joe Rogan. Oh my God. So obviously I've seen, you know, more people then come to view my content because, you know, they're all obviously looking for other stuff about James Nestor on there. But at the end of it, I hear something about yourself. So do you want to tell us a bit about what happened and how you got involved with James Nestor and all that sort of stuff?
So part of my recovery from my brain injury was I needed to get back into my routine. I was unable to be a Wim Hof Method instructor. Part of my concussion is I have a black hole in my brain for about a month or two afterwards where the time is just like snow on a television. I forgot I knew the Wim Hof Method. I forgot I was a Wim Hof Method instructor. And when my facilities started to come back, I needed a routine. And thankfully I had some past clients who were just brilliant. They're like, how about a weekly breathwork session? And we started a weekly breathwork session on Monday nights so I could get back in the routine. I could do the breathing. I could do what made me comfortable. I could do what made me happy. And I'd had people come to my workshops and be like, ah, I've been doing the Wim Hof method at home. Watch. I'm like, no, don't do that. So it was a way for people to learn to do it correctly. There was so much misinformation out there. So it was like many things to just try and help. Eventually, a couple meetups got started and people could just come to learn to do the breath work. And they were helping me. I was helping them. I didn't want any money from it. I just wanted people to do it right. And this gentleman named James Nestor started coming to my breathwork sessions, and I didn't think anything of it because everybody's welcome. I don't care who you are, where you are, what you're doing. Just come on, let's breathe for a bit. And one day I mentioned that I live in Jackson, California. And I get an email from James saying, I'm writing a book in Volcano, which is the town that's 10 minutes away.
Okay.
So not only is he close, he's really close. He's 10 minutes away from where I'm at right now while he was writing. And he said, let's meet up. Let's do some of the breath work. And that's how that happened. It was just my friends trying to help me feel better, me trying to help other people feel better. I don't feel the need to sell, to advertise, to do that. That's not what those sessions are about. And he came on and we did the meeting in the park that you can read about in the book with big rigs going by like that. That was all true. That all happened. And I thankfully, magically, he mentioned me on Joe Rogan. And usually my breathwork sessions were 15, 20, sometimes 35 people. And that's okay. I was just doing it because I enjoyed it. Last Monday, I had 138. And wow. This Sunday, I had 200 people joining to breathe.
Wow.
So to say it's been a change is a vast understatement.
Yeah.
And my time is, even now, I'm like, whoa, I've got meetings. So business has picked up.
Good.
Which is great that I can do it from home. I miss the in-person. I miss helping, like, because you can't do ice baths over Zoom. It's not the same. And to convince someone on their first workshop that, hey, I need you to get a tub, fill it with water, pour ice in there, and get in. So there's certain things we can't do over Zoom, but proper breath, that can be done online. And just evolving into the circumstances we have around us. I could bemoan the fact that I can't do it the way I'd like, or I could smile and be like, so how can I make it the way I'd like it to be with what I have?
Yeah.
And James is just a really nice, relaxing guy. I'm ever grateful for the fact that he mentioned me, and he mentioned Patrick McEwen, and Patrick's knowledge, like for 20 years, he's been doing this and trying to get people to breathe properly, forging the way. So people like Wim could come in and really bring awareness to the breath. And sorry, that's James' title for his book. And bringing his book and just laying it out there, all these ancient practices, talking about how important it is we breathe nasally and having people realize that this isn't snake oil. This isn't fake. I've had doctors tell me this is ridiculous. Breathing through your mouth or nose doesn't change anything. It's too easy. And I said, okay, if it's so easy, then why are you fighting it so hard? Just try it. Just try it. Well, what if it doesn't work? Try it. If it doesn't work, then I'm going to be surprised because breathing through your nose will help you relax.
Yeah.
Just try it.
Yeah.
And you can see that tension where they're going like this. Now they're a little more relaxed. And so, yeah, just meeting him, being part of it, it's all this weird I coincidence, people call it. Someone else called it, oh, you were fated to meet him. No, I was just trying to be nice.
Yeah.
And the kindness, it pays off. Looking at the world through gratitude, trying to bring that positivity to other people. I mean, there are so many bad YouTube videos on how to do the Wim Hof breath work that I was just tired of people getting misinformation, tired of people telling me like, oh, I saw this guy. He said he was an instructor. They weren't. They taught me to breathe this way. Please don't. Like, this isn't helping you. It's not helping progress the method further. It's bringing things back because people were hurting themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, telling someone to breathe like this for 30 breaths quickly, that's not at all what you're supposed to do. And it was, I saw that happening more and more and more, especially with the Silicon Valley people. They really put a lot of stock into, you know, the online media they can consume, not realizing the guy or girl may be speaking correctly, may have the right vibe, may be playing the right music in the background, but that doesn't grant any authority. That's just their scenery. And then that's how you're supposed to do it. Okay. I had someone tell me that they tried the breathwork in the water because they saw someone doing it. I'm like,
oh, good.
You could die. Don't ever do the breathwork near the water. And I looked up the video. It wasn't Wim Hof. It was someone telling you how to stack air for free diving.
Right.
So they didn't even quite get what the guy was talking about. Yeah. That's not the Wim Hof method. That's free diving and air stacking. If you want to do that, go ahead. But they're not the same.
Yeah.
And it was just my quest to help people learn, to help people feel better. If a random guy who used to work in a bar can do this as a type 1 diabetic, if I can climb a mountain in my underpants, anybody can. You don't have to be super healthy. You can get there. One of my favorite people who climbed the mountain had a double hip replacement.
Wow.
And she was 65 and she made it to the top.
Good for her.
Yeah. And the whole group, it was beautiful. She may not have been moving the fastest, but these big, buff, strong men, you know, athletes, they could have run to the top. We all walked behind her. She set our pace.
Nice.
And that's the main thing I love about going on a hike in Poland is we do put the slow people up front. They set the pace for everybody else. That way, we're not messing with their mind by having them walk behind us and having them catch up. Because they'll catch up and then the group starts to go again. They haven't had time to rest. You guys did.
Yeah.
So by putting them in the front, they're part of the group. They're the inspiration to keep going. It changes it mentally.
Yeah.
They feel the energy of the group pushing up the hill. They feel that support. They don't feel like they're dragging everybody down. And I don't think the people in our society who are sick deserve to be behind us. I think they should be in front of us. I like to judge our society on how we treat our weakest and most vulnerable. So that's why I like to work at a pain clinic. I like to help people. Athletes, they've got kinesiologists, they've got sports trainers, they have this myriad of things to help them. Most people don't have that. So I just, part of what I like to do is to give back, to help. And I'd like to say it's all because I'm altruistic, but that's a total lie. It's a total lie. I love how I feel when I help somebody. So even if I don't get anything from them, helping or teaching a class makes me feel euphoric. So why wouldn't I want to keep doing that?
Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, that's the third time I've heard that in 24 hours, that this thing around helping others. Tony Robbins was talking about it yesterday. I was listening to David Goggins' book, You Can't Hurt Me, earlier in the car. And he talks a lot about, you know, get out of your head and do it for the team. And obviously you've heard it. So there's some message going around in my head that keeps hearing that. And I love that. And I love the piece you just said then as well around, you know, letting our slower people and people that may be a bit unfortunate set the pace. And that makes total sense, especially when you're climbing a mountain. Because, you know, that we're a team, aren't we? And we go up together and we come down together. So I love that, Chuck. Chuck, last question from me. So a random person comes to you in the street and says, Chuck, what can I do to improve my health? What would be the couple of things? You don't know them from Adam. What would you suggest they could do?
You mean what I do normally and embarrass my family by doing? Yeah. Close your mouth. Learn to breathe through your nose. If you can't breathe through your nose, it's a real simple exercise. Exhale comfortably, pinch your nose, rock your head back and forth until you need to breathe, let go. Multiple times may need to be done. If you don't have a deviated septum or some other physiological problem, that'll help clear your sinuses. Lean into the uncomfortable. Start taking a 30-second cold shower at the end. Control your breath, in three, out six. Learn that calm breath in that stressful situation. And take one of my sayings is, the investment that pays off 100% of the time is the time you take to invest in yourself. Take the time. You're worth it. You may think I don't have time to invest in myself, but that's what we need to make time for. You'll be a better parent. You'll be a better partner. You'll be a better human if you take the time to work on you. And it's simple. I'm not saying sit down and try and like meditate away all your past trauma, but just breathe. Feel the air come in and out. Practice the Wim Hof method once a day. And if you don't want to do that because you don't want to do that, try Buteyko. Find something you can do that makes you feel better. It can be anything. It doesn't have to be what I'm a coach of. I know plenty of other coaches who will help you. If you can't do it alone, find someone to help you on the path. But everybody's goal is health, strength, and happiness. Find something that helps you get there. And that's what I like to say to anybody is, look, everyone's got a piece of the pie. If it doesn't taste right to you, find a different piece. Keep looking, keep searching, whether it be Soma, Breathology, Wim Hof Method, Buteyko, Oxygen Advantage, find any of them, any of the Pranayama breathworks, like all of it, look for something. Don't stop and just accept the fact that you have to feel this way. And if you stumble, that's okay. Get up and keep walking. Some days are going to be harder than the others. Sometimes you might fall off the wagon. That's okay too. Be nicer to yourself. Give yourself a break. Don't think change will come tomorrow either.
Yeah.
It takes work and it takes a lot of work. And sometimes we fall off the wagon and we change not how we'd like.
Life's all about balance, ups and downs, and I love that. Thank you. That was a really nice joke. So how can people find you?
Well, I'm not the best at social media. My website really hasn't been updated in 2 years, but my website is icedvikingbreathworks.com. My Instagram is icedvikingbreathworks. I'm Chuck McGee III on Facebook. Send me a message, reach out. I do one-on-one coaching. I do group coaching. My Monday night sessions are no cost. People just have to show up. It's at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Unfortunately, for those in the UK, that's 5 in the morning. Yeah, for Central Europe, it's 6 a.m. And for people in New York, that's midnight. So that's why I'm trying to do a monthly Sunday session for people to just be able to join wherever they're at. But reach out. I'll try and help whoever I can. And if I can't, I bet I know a Wim Hof Method instructor in your area who can. So please reach out, ask questions. Don't hesitate. If you want to ask a silly question, maybe I can have a silly answer. Who knows?
Fantastic. Chuck, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I wish you every success. Very well deserved. I'm so glad that James mentioned you on Joe Rogan. Guys, thank you so much for watching. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I certainly did. And there's plenty more on the way. So make sure you've subscribed, liked, and shared. Leave us some comments down below. If you can afford to give us a couple of books on Patreon, it's very appreciated. It helps keep the channel going. And new breathwork videos every Monday. That's it for me. Chuck, thanks again for your time, sir. And we'll see you all in the next one. Be well. Peace. Thank you.